Jesus is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life.
Yes.
Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So those who want to live right come to the light. Those who don't, don't. It's very simple. So let's not complicate that. We're here because we want to live right in the light of truth. Mm-hmm. Because we want to live right and holy and righteous. That's why we come to church, right? And because we want to be free from what? Sin and the destructive forces and powers of Satan in our lives. That's it. That's really what it's all about. Anything else is deception. And the enemy works overtime to keep people deceived from the simplicity of the truth. So beyond that, it's about some, you know, that person, a person is deceived. You know, everybody wants to go to a nice place to fellowship and have church. And that's that we should. But in the end, it's about living holy and righteous unto the Lord. All right. So now let's look at this. This is a review. We're going to review from yesterday. I mean, last Sunday. Forgive me. Last Sunday, we looked at Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Right.
Right.
Jesus is the way. He is the truth, and he is the life. So in 1 John 3:8, it says, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. Why was Jesus manifested? He was destroyed to do what? He was manifested to do what? To destroy the works of the devil. That's it. That's why God sent his son Jesus into the earth. Mm-hmm. That's the scriptures. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil in every area of our lives. It only works for those that believe in him, that accepts him as their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And his lordship over their lives is what empowers him to protect them and take care of them. I'll say it again. His lordship over their lives, lordship over our lives, is what empowers us to protect us and take care of us. Does that make sense? No? Yeah? Maybe? Makes sense, right? So it says in 1 John 3:7, it says, little children, let no one deceive you. It says, he who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. Doesn't that what the word say? Very simple. So anyone that's making excuses for not practicing living right is in the darkness and they're deceived. This is the truth. Because if we don't get, if people don't understand this and get this, they're going to struggle the rest of their Christian life, or they're going to wind up busting hell wide open because they went and thought that they were saved. But saved people practice living right. Saved people live right. Saved people want to live right. Right? That's key. We want to live right. And so we practice our righteousness. We talked about practice. We read our Bibles. Do you understand the average Christian doesn't read their Bible? They listen to some philosophy that somebody said that makes them happy because it moves their emotions and tantalizes their intellect and pacifies their flesh. No. We want to live holy and righteous unto the Lord. This is not complicated. This is not rocket science. So now, guarding our heart. We looked at this last week. Guarding our heart. Guarding your heart is how you keep your faith. What is your faith? Your faith is in what Jesus has done for you. The love that God has provided for us in Jesus. Alrighty? So the enemy will try to break into your heart. See, or break your heart. Mm-hmm. To get you to stop believing. So he tries to break in to try to get you to stop believing. How do we do that? With problems, circumstances, and situations that's contrary to the goodness of God's, contrary to God's love and goodness in your life. Alrighty? In other words, he throws problems. And circumstances. But you have to keep believing the promises of God no matter what you feel like, what it looks like. You have to keep believing. That makes sense? We keep believing. Right?
Yes.
We keep what?
Believing.
We keep believing. That's not rocket science. That's just simple stuff. Amen. So as we stand trusting and believing God's words, God's word, concerning Jesus, concerning the promises of Jesus, I am saying the same thing over and over again because this is the truth. And people need to be get the doubt and the lies and the deceptions out of their mind How do we do that? By continuing to emphasize the truth. So we stand trusting and believing God's word. What's that? Angels are fighting on our behalf.
Yes.
Angels, the Holy Spirit, God is performing his word for us. All right. So God is moving and causing things to happen in the invisible so that they manifest in our physical. God is moving in the invisible so that the promises of God can manifest where? In our physical world, so we can actually have them. What does it? It doesn't make sense to believe and to go to church and not have what the Bible says we have. Oh, I forgot. Most people ain't reading the Bible. So they don't even know what they got. They don't know what they have in Jesus. They're always crying and begging and holding on. Holding on to what? What you waiting on? Continuing the review. Guarding your heart to keep your faith. You got to guard your heart. You have to push back against demonic opposition that begins to, and you have to resist doubt, right?
Yeah.
So you push back demonic opposition and resist doubt. What's the doubt? Doubt of what the word says. Remember Peter walked on the water? And Jesus said, why did you doubt? You need to figure out why you're doubting. People arguing and debating the scriptures causes doubts and disbeliefs amongst people because you don't know what to believe. Believe in Jesus. Believe what the Bible says Jesus has done for you. You have to read the scripture. So you resist doubt, disbelief, sickness, and disease like you resist sin, and you're going to win. If you resist doubt, disbelief, and sickness like diseases, like you resist sin, you're going to win. What's the problem? Most people don't resist sin in their life. They just give in. No, we're supposed to resist sin. We don't give in to sin. We resist sin. Huh? You're going to have thoughts in your mind to make you sin. You're going to have thoughts in your mind to talk about people. You're going to have thoughts in mind to be unfaithful to your spouse. You're going to have those thoughts. I don't care what you say. You're going to have those negative thoughts. And to the degree that you learn to resist them is going to be the degree that you learn to win in life. And eventually the devil stopped tempting you with that. But there's no temptation that is uncommon to man that God has not already made a way to escape it.
Amen.
How? Through Christ Jesus. Do you meditating on the word? Do you practicing and putting into practice and doing what you got to say, doing what you have to do and saying what you need to say to deal with your thought life? When I have a thought negative, you know, not mess up, but you know, they might come. You never know. Oh man, that person looked good. Hey, whoa, get that out of that mind.
Right,
but
right.
Thought to make you talk about people, I immediately start praying for people. Soon as a negative thought comes to me about people, I begin to pray about people. Boy, the devil leave me alone, man. He don't try to get me because he's trying to get my mouth to agree with his lies about that person. No. I'm not going to be the witness for the enemy. I'm going to be a witness for Jesus in their life. And I'm always going to speak what Jesus has done for them. But you got to know what Jesus has done for you to pray Jesus over people. All righty. So you have to resist them. Those mountains and oppositions will bow to you. So those are mountains of opposition. They will bow to the Lordship of Jesus Christ over your life when you stand in the power of Jesus' might. So I said we needed to read Ephesians Chapter 6, 10 through 20 for next week. Well, we're here. We're at next week. All righty. Amen. All righty. So we're going to get into this. What I'm teaching now is going to yield manifested results in people's lives. It's going to break sin struggles and all kinds of things in your life if you listen to how this works. All righty. Hallelujah. Say victory.
Victory.
It's time for victory. Glory to God. Glory to God. Don't make no sense to go to church and have no victory. That's ridiculous. All right. Section 1. Abiding in Jesus' love is essential. Abiding in Jesus' love is essential for having Christian success. Godly success. Abiding in Jesus' love is essential. All right. To say something is essential simply means it is absolutely necessary. Huh? This is simple stuff here. Simple stuff. Alrighty. You cannot live, function, or succeed without it. That's what it means. It's essential. just can't happen. Therefore, to say abiding in Jesus is essential means that remaining connected to him is not optional. It is not just helpful, even though it's helpful, and it's not just secondary. It is the fundamental requirement for spiritual life. Apart from him, there is no life at all. So that means we have to stay joined at the hip with him. We have to stay joined. We have to stay connected. So to live right, we must abide in him. How come people can't live right? Because they don't abide in the light. This is not rocket science, man. You can go to church all your life and miss the simplicity of this thing, and that's why nothing happened. And I'm not talking about that religious, dogmatic, mean-spirited Christians. They ain't walking in love. The gospel is not mean-spirited against people, but it don't tolerate demons and devils. Are you listening to me? So you can't play with sin. If you play with sin, you're going to get burnt like fire. You don't play with fire. It's just the truth. Alrighty. To add anything else to this is intellectual pride, and it leads to deception. So what I'm saying is so simple that you need to intentionally complicate it to try to impress people with your deep selves. These same people are very educated and well-spoken, but can't live godly. There's a problem. You don't need to be deep and intellectual. You got to read the book, believe the book, and obey the book, and do the book. And if you needed a degree to understand the book, you are at a disadvantage. Listen to what I just said. If a person needs a degree to understand how to live godly, that person is at a disadvantage. So you don't need a degree. You don't need a college degree. You don't need a theological degree to live godly. It's a lie from the pit of hell. My primary reason for listening to someone and following someone, are they living right? My man of God that's home with the Lord now, my spiritual father, Brother Barry, he was living right. And he taught me how to live right. And then it's hard to find somebody that can teach you how to live right. But they can preach real good to you, brother. They can preach real good to you, man. Where they have you jumping over the pews and swinging off the chandeliers. You're so happy. But you get home, you don't know what to do. You don't know how to deal with the demons and the devils in your life. Huh? Yeah, this is true stuff, man. This is true stuff. All right. Section one, still abiding in Jesus' love is essential. Let's look at this. We're just going to read some scriptures, right? Mm-hmm. I ain't trying to impress nobody today. That ain't my job. Been there, done that. Listen to people that used to impress me. That don't impress me. This is impressive to me. Right here. I am the way, the truth. It says, I am the true. I am the true vine. I've got another scripture in my heart. I am the true vine. And my Father is the vine dresser.
Yes.
Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, look what he says, he takes it away. And every branch that continues to bear fruit, he repeatedly prunes it. Glory to God. So he is after fruits. Mm-hmm. The most important fruit that he wants is the fruit of living godly. Doesn't matter how many people sitting in the pews. If they ain't living godly, they're going to hell. All right, here we go. We live in godly in here. We're practicing our righteousness. Huh? Glory to God. Amen. Amen. And you don't need a bunch of people. See what I'm saying? It don't bother you that a lot of people don't show up when you're living right for real. That, you know what I'm saying? You ain't happy about what we're doing here? Well, that's not my problem. We ecstatic.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It is done. Glory to God. You are already clean. Look what Jesus said. Jesus said, you're already clean because of the words that I have spoken, which I have given you. It says the teachings. Look what it says there. This is the new Amplified. The teachings which I have discussed with you. When you spend time with the Lord, he begins to discuss teachings of the kingdom with you on how to do things, wisdom and things of that nature.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Yes, he
says, remain in me. Look what he says. He's talking to his disciples, but he also is talking to everybody that will believe on their words. So that's you and me. All right. He says, remain in me and I will remain in you. So what's the contingency on that? He says, I will remain in you. How? If you remain in me. Meaning, if you remain in Jesus, Jesus will remain in you. The only way Jesus won't remain in you is you got to leave him. Been there, done that. He'll let you come back. I ain't leaving this time. Boy, religious folks had me all duped, man. I had it all the time. What? Godliness. Anything more than that, man, well, you're deceived. Just as no branch can bear fruit by itself without what? Remaining in the vine, right?
Yep.
Neither can you. See, we can't bear fruit unless we abide. Bear fruit producing evidence. Look at this. Evidence of what? Your faith. So fruits is evidence of your faith. Do you believe that Jesus came to set you free from the power of the enemy so that you can live right? That is the first order of business in the kingdom. I don't want to hear no excuses about all your problems. If you're not seeking fruits of godliness, you are walking in deception. Call sin, sin. We got a lot of sin in the land. Call it what it is. They have been given over to a reprobate mind. Oh, but I love them. I love them too. That's why I'm praying for their deliverance. Yeah. If they don't get delivered, they're going to hell. That's how I pray for them. I don't judge them. I don't sit in the seat of the scornful. But I have to speak truth. Baby, you've been turned over to a reprobate mind. I need to go pray to God for you. Yeah. And y'all know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
All righty. Praise the Lord. Unless you remain in Jesus. So verse 5 says, he says, I am the vine, ye are my branches, you are his branches, and the one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit. So, I mean, he's saying the same thing repetitively. So Jesus taught repetitively, but people don't like repetitive teaching. Well, y'all better start reading the teachings of Jesus. He said the same thing over and over again. Why? Because the disciples were a little slow of getting things. I was one of them. I was a little slow too. So I had to hear it over and over again until that thing finally popped like popcorn. Pop, 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 pop. But once it starts popping, baby, look what it says. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him, what happens? Bears much fruit. For otherwise, apart from me, meaning apart from Jesus, that is, cut off from vital, look what it says here, vital union with me, you can do nothing. Now, look at all this that Jesus is saying. He's very clear here. Look for something deep and intellectual, huh? No, man. Just stick with what the book says. Huh? We're sticking with the book in this fellowship. He told me to teach the book. Teach my scriptures so that my people can grow. How I teach the scriptures? Right here. I'm doing a bishop. I'm doing Bishop Green from now on. I'm going to read the book to you, man. If you don't want the book, then you need to go somewhere else because we're preaching the book here, man. And all right, look, if anyone does not remain in me, verse 6, talking about Jesus, he is thrown out like a broken off branch. Mm-hmm. What happens in the withers and dies? And they gather such branches and throw them into the fire that they may be burned. We got some branches sitting out there in the yard now, and it's going to make some good fire, good fire, good kindling, good fire this evening. Well, not this evening, in the fall. Glory to God. What? Just burn them. They're useless. Look, in 24 hours, man, all the leaves was brown and just, I mean, you could see them dry up.
Yep.
Didn't it? All right. He says, if you remain in me and my words, his what? His words remain in you. That is, if you are vitally united, and my message lives where? In your heart. Mm. Not your head.
Heart.
You got a lot of people that got a lot of head knowledge, but no heart, life of Jesus. I used to follow, be really, really into that stuff. And it was real complicated, deep words they were using that impressed me. Because reading the scriptures were boring. You read them trying to find something else out in them. Like, oh man, I'm looking for something deep. Won't you try doing the scriptures so that they can get results and you'll see how deep they is. You're still trying to find a breakthrough. The breakthrough is doing what the words say do. Glory to God. I said the breakthrough is in doing what the words say do. That's worth saying again. The breakthrough is in doing what the words say do. Are you meditating on your word day and night? Well, there it is. You're not having good success because his word is not abiding in you. See, that's how you let the word dwell richly in your heart.
Uh-huh.
Amen?
Amen?
Glory to God. All right. Man, he says, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Well, if you're meditating on the word and the word is abiding in you, what do you think you're going to ask for? You're going to ask for his word. So that's why I've been teaching you ask God for his word. When you pray believing what? You pray believing the word. See, a lot of people are praying, but they're not praying believing what the word already say they got and have in Jesus.
Yeah.
That's why they ain't seeing supernatural results. I know they're just looking for something deep and spiritual, and they'll be in the same place this time next year in their personal lives. Looking for another church to go to because this one ain't doing what it needs to do. No, the reason it ain't working for you is you're not doing what the scriptures say do.
Amen.
Amen. See, the word's working for us. See, the word got to work for you when ain't no people around you. Glory to God.
Yeah.
Man, that's under the Amen. Glory. See, when ain't nobody around, is the word working for you? Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's what gives you confidence. You have monuments of his accomplishments. Of his accomplishments of what God. Not monuments of your accomplishments. Monuments of his accomplishments of what he done did for you. Supernaturally. He done broke through some things for you. Glory to God. Amen. I have loved you. Let me go back to this. Verse 8. My Father is glorified and honored by this. What? That when you ask something based on fruits, see, look what he says. My Father is glorified and honored by this. How? When you bear much fruit and prove yourselves to be my true disciples. You got to prove yourself. Glory to God. Glory to God. How you do that? By doing what the word say do. What do you do when you're going through hard times, tribulations, and trouble? Get up and do a testimony and whine and cry. But God's going, no. You need to find scripture so that you can combat all the trials and tribulations of the devil. You need to find the victory you have in Jesus so that it will manifest and you break through all those trials and tribulations and trouble.
Yeah.
You're just trying to hear a good message to make you feel good emotionally. No, you need a word to stand on that you can fight the devil back with. No rhyme or word. We've been saying we're going to keep teaching it, baby. We're going to keep teaching it. And eventually people are going to start grabbing it. No rhema. No breakthrough. No word. No victory. No word in your heart. No victory in your life. Huh? What's the word? Chapter and verses of the Bible. New covenant faith is concerning Jesus.
Yeah.
Not rocket science here. You don't have to go through all that stuff. We've been there. We've been there. We've been there. We've been there. Glory to God. This works. That didn't. The word works. Oh, that's boring. It ain't boring when it start working. Ain't that right? It ain't boring when it starts showing up and manifesting. You go, woo! Glory to God. I love Jesus. Woo! Look what he says here. Remember I told you. Wait a minute. Verse 9 says, I have loved you just as the Father has loved me. Remain in my what? Love. And do not doubt my love for you.
Yeah.
Do not doubt Jesus' love for you. All right, so I've been saying this. Remember I told you that the enemy comes to try to get you to doubt, right? What is he trying to get you to doubt? He's trying to get you to doubt God's love for you. But the love of God is always in Jesus. So where's the love of God in Jesus? So if you start doubting Jesus, you're going to start doubting God's love for you. And that's what the devil don't want you to have. And that is faith in what God has provided for you in Jesus already. Do you understand this?
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want you to have faith in what God has provided you in Jesus already. God has supplied all your needs by Christ Jesus. All means all. Like I said, you need a theologian to complicate that simple three-letter word and intellectualize you out of the simplicity of it. Glory to God. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Oh, I'm going to be bold with you. You ain't saying, whoa, this is good stuff here. Man, the simplicity of the gospel makes it bold. And it's because the simplicity of the gospel is the power of the gospel.
Yeah.
Just simply Jesus, man. All righty. Romans 8, 31 through 39. Let's do some reading. All righty. Amplified. It says, what then shall we say to these things if God be for us? Who can be against us? Huh? Who can be successfully against us, as the King James says there? Huh? Nobody. Look what it says in verse 32. It says, he who did not spare even his own son, but gave him up. He's talking about Jesus. So he who did not spare Jesus, but gave him up for us all. Why did he do it? For us all. Why? How will he not also with him? Look what it says. Along with him, graciously give us all things. Mm-hmm. King James says, has freely given us all things. What part of free don't people like? I like free stuff.
Amen.
Pride. See, when you got to work for stuff, you can brag for stuff. Glory to God. Listen to what I just said. When you work for stuff, you can brag for stuff. Well, I work hard, man. I work hard for this. Well, look at you with your braggadocious selves. No, he freely given me things. How you get it? Man, I just got it from God. He loved me. I just asked him for it and he gave it to me. How you get your healing? I asked for it. Wow. I asked for it. The blind men came to Jesus, right? They were blind. Here they come walking up to Jesus. Jesus looked at him. He says, what would you like? Jesus said, what would you like me to do for you? Come on now. He can see they're blind. No, you got to ask for your healing. They said that we might receive, that I might receive my possession, sight. By his stripes, you were healed. The blood is purchased for you. On his back, he was whipped on his back. He's tucking the punishment. Sin and sickness and disease. Sickness was placed upon him for you. You just go to God and ask for Jesus. What? You ask for the healing Jesus provided for you. Oh, yeah? Yeah. That's how it works. You working real hard to get healed, ain't you? All righty. Stick with me, man. That thing gonna start making sense here. Look what it says. 33. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? Did he just say we're God's elect? Yeah. His chosen ones. Glory to God. It is God who justifies us. Look what it says there. Declaring us blameless and put in the right relationship with him. What puts us in right relationship with him? We're in Jesus. We're the branches. We're abiding in him. Glory to God. Ah, glory to God. You see that? Right relationship. Oh, man, went to church for years. Get right with God. Get right with God. Man, they wouldn't read that scripture to me. I got saved. I'm already in right relationship with him. Didn't even know it. I'm still working to get right with God. When I believed in Jesus, that made me right with God. Woo! Glory to God. Man, I can't stand religion. Oh, we're going to rip them out of this religious mess.
Yes, man.
If they just read the Bible and stop listening to all that philosophy and just read the book and accept what it says, man, they'll be like, man, Reverend, what you talking about? All right, where are we at? 34? Who is he? Who is the one who condemns us? Who brings condemnation against us? Huh? The devil does that, but you know, look what it says here. Christ Jesus is the one who died. Look at this. Paid the penalty. Glory to God. Glory to God. Why are you paying for something that's already been paid for? You know, pride do that. Someone wants to pay your way for something. Oh no, that's okay. Yeah, I receive. The Bible says they that receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Christ Jesus. Why you want to receive the gift? Oh, I know. You can't brag. See, people say, why we got to live by faith? Because faith stops you from bragging about what you did. And now you have to brag on what God did. See what I'm saying? Faith brags on God. See, one of the fallacies of the faith message that they missed, they emphasize faith so much, they start emphasizing faith and faith. So people start thinking faith was about faith. Faith is about God. And faith doesn't brag on your faith. So it seemed like they was bragging on their faith, like they had this great faith and you didn't. No, you got the same measure of faith they did. You got to trust God. Faith, trust Trust is what makes faith faith. I can't say it no simpler than that. Faith is trust.
Yeah.
Y'all get that? Faith is trusting God to do His word. Faith is trusting God to perform His word. Faith is not you believing it into existence. Your faith is you trusting God to bring it into existence. Glory to God. Man, you get that. See, faith stops you from bragging on you. True, a person that got faith brags on God. Because He's the faithful one. When you're not in faith, He's still faithful. Glory to God. You understand what I'm saying? When you lose the faith, He still holds His promises to you and builds you in faith. Because you say, even though I stopped believing you, you still performed your word for me. Glory to God. That now become a situation where I now have a monument of trust in Him. Mm-hmm. I've learned to trust Him. He helped me trust Him, doggone it. He'll help you trust Him. Sometimes you got to tell Him, I'm struggling. I'm struggling believing today. I know you can do all things, but are you going to do it for me? Glory to God. See, what's happening? The devil talking and trying to get you to stop believing in His love. And so I've learned to abide in His love. And I start saying things like this. God, love me.
Yep.
And God, one of my favorite scriptures, I love this scripture, which is in Romans chapter 10:11. Powerful scripture. Powerful scripture. Powerful scripture. I want to get it, doggone it. Y'all all right?
Yeah.
Oh, don't worry. We won't be preaching the seeds very long. Jesus is going to see to that. I said Jesus is going to see to that.
Amen.
He's not going to let somebody stand here and talk about Him and He not bring people. And the abundance of people is the King's honor.
Hallelujah.
Not Larry's honor. It ain't about my honor. It's about Jesus' honor. He's the King. And He know the people that want to hear about Him. He know who the people are that want to glorify Him. He know the people that want to praise Him. He know the people that don't want to have church and play church. Glory to God. He know the people. I don't know who they are. Just stand here and preach, my son. And I cause people to come from the north, the south, the east, the west. Anyway, where are we? Look. Romans 10:11. Look what it says here. Romans 10 verse 11. Mm-hmm. King James says in Romans 10. Man, I'm still... I like this scripture, man. I glory to God. I like it. It says in Romans 10, verse 11, it says, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth in Him, what? Shall not be put to shame. Read that thing in the Amplified, please. We all right. We ain't going nowhere. Jesus likes us to preach about Him, and the angels love to hear us preach the scriptures. Ooh, clear that. I said preach the scriptures. Go ahead.
10:11. Mm-hmm. For the scripture says, whoever believes in Him, mm-hmm. whoever adheres to, trusts in, and relies on Him, who's the Him?
Jesus.
Will not be disappointed
mm-hmm.
in His expectation.
What you expecting Him to do for you?
Hallelujah.
What you expecting? I'm expecting Jesus to do some things for me. Why? Because He loved me. You understand? He's a good Jesus. He's a good God. Yeah, He's a good Savior. He's a good Father. They just good. They just good. Did I finish that, doggone it? He's just too good. So finishing up here, it says Jesus is the one who died, paid the penalty. More than that, who was raised from the dead and who is at the right hand of God. Look what it says here. Interceding with the Father for us. He's before God saying, Lord, help him. My blood did it for them. They need a little help. Glory to God. Who shall ever separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall ever? Look what he says. Will tribulation?
No.
Nope. Will distress?
No. Nope.
Will persecution?
No.
Nope. Will famine?
No. Nope.
Will nakedness?
No. Nope.
Will danger?
No. Nope.
I swear?
No.
Nope. 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 You see that? That's what you tell the devil. Speak the word to the devil.
That's right.
Tell him. Read the scriptures to the devil. Glory to God.
Yeah.
Read the scriptures to him. Sit there and say, hey, Mr. Devil, listen to this. Glory to God. Romans 8, 31-39, picking up at verse 36, it says, just as it is written and forever remains written, for your sakes, Talking about Jesus' sake, for his benefit, for his benefit. Now why? We are put to death all day long. This death is the death of our flesh.
Mm-hmm.
You got to die to your flesh. Why? So that you can resurrect, live the resurrected life that's in your spirit. Look what it says. We are regarded as. We are not sheep, but we are regarded as sheep for the slaughter. What? The devil think he can slaughter us. But then Jesus begins to empower us and we begin to slaughter the devil back. Glory to God. We slaughter him instead of him slaughtering us. These are it. You attack what you thought was a lamb. But when you attacked that lamb, there was a roaring lion that came out. Glory to God. Uh-oh. It's like a dog that's chasing a car. He runs up to that car. Oh, what you going to do with that? What you going to do with that? Huh? What you going to do with Jesus, Satan? What you going to do with Jesus, Lucifer? You demons from hell. What you going to do with Jesus? They can't do nothing with Jesus. So when you abide in Jesus, that's when you have victory over demons, devils, circumstances, situations in your life. I don't care what you're going through. Your problem is you're not abiding in Jesus Christ. You're looking for some philosophy of man. You're looking for psychology. No. Your victory is in Jesus. The power of God is in Jesus. Not your intellectual psychology. Praise the Lord. That's the truth. And that's the truth. Jesus truth. Yet, in all these things, look what it says. We are more than conquerors and gain an overwhelming victory through him. What? There's a word. Amen. Who loved us. Abide in his love. So much that he died for us. 38 says, for I am convinced. You got to be convinced. You got to be convinced. He says, I am convinced.
And continue
to be convinced. I am convinced and I continue to be convinced. Look at this. Beyond any doubt that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things threatening. Look at this. Nor things to come, nor power, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing will be able to separate, make it personal. Me. From the unlimited love of God, which is where it's at? In Christ Jesus our Lord. So now, that's a powerful statement. We're gonna build on that for the next couple of weeks. Christ Jesus our Lord. You got to get a revelation of his lordship. The love of his lordship. Glory to God. When you say you belong to Jesus, the devil back up. Why? Because you're under his providential love and care and lordship. You're abiding in his kingdom. And nothing can touch you. All right, continuing on, verse 10. In conclusion, look what it says here. Be strong in what? Be strong in who? The Lord. Be strong in who?
The Lord.
Who's the Lord?
Jesus.
So, when you see the Lord in the new covenant, say the name. Be strong in Jesus. And draw your strength from him and be empowered through your union with him. Abide in him. Glory to God. How do I abide, Pastor Larry? You abide by looking at that word and abiding in that word, praying in the spirit, speaking that word over your life, telling God thank you for Jesus, reading it, saying it, thinking about it on the regular. On your break, go get your little Bible off your phone and look at the scripture again. Glory to God. I'm abiding in him. And then start telling the devils and demons, I make known to you today, Satan, that Jesus is the Lord of my life. Sin, sickness, and disease, you have no legal right in my body. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. My body belongs to Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? That's how you defeat the enemy in your life. Your financial situation, I'm a tithe-paying member. I rebuke you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've given my tithes to Jesus, and he worships the Father with them. Glory to God. For he is the now my Melchizedek on who I tithe to. Oh, yeah. That's how you devil-proof your money, doggone it. Devil can't steal your money. Devil tried to steal mine. But Jesus showed up as a lawyer in the courtroom. Get your filthy hands off of his money. His money is my money, said Jesus, because I'm a tithe-paying member.
Yes.
You can't take my stuff. Glory to God. Woo! This is good stuff, man. Man, see, this make me happy. This is what make me happy. That other preaching, it used to, I thought, man, they wasn't saying nothing. Man, just preach the scriptures to me, man. It make me happy. Why? Because that's the truth. Mm-hmm. And that's what God honors. He honors his word above his own name. And who's his word?
Jesus.
All righty. Praise God. All right, man, I'm getting happy, man. I get happy where I'm at. Union with him and in his power and boundless might. How? This is how we do it, by putting on the full armor of God. Who's the full armor of God? We're going to look at this more. Jesus is.
Yep.
For his precepts are like, look what it says, like the splendid armor of a heavily armed soldier. Now look at this here. Precepts are specific, authoritative instructions and practical directions given by God to guide our daily conduct and righteous living. Glory to God. Do you understand that? Woo! Woo! The Hebrew root of this means to carry. It carries the sense of an official order, mandate, or appointed rule from a commander. So your commander in chief has given you orders. And when you operate and walk on, what is those orders? Rhema word. That rhema word is a ordered word. Glory to God. And when you live by that rhema ordered word from heaven, you walk on water. It is a word where Jesus enforces it in your life. Glory to God. When you get a revelation of what Jesus has done for you and you walk by that, glory to God, man, no demon in hell can touch you. You're going to see manifestations of supernatural things taking place in your life. You're going to go places that you never thought you could go. You're going to meet people that you never thought you could meet. Why? Because you're being risen to the top as you walk on that rhema word.
Come on.
You understand what I'm saying? What the word tell you to do? You heard, bird? What the word tell you to do? Glory to God. Look what it says here. So now, as a fully armed heavy soldier, why? So that you may be able to successfully stand up against all the schemes and the strategies and the deceits of who? The devil. We fight not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Look what he says in verse 12. For our struggle is not with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents. Yes, the opponents may be physical. Some of them may be people. But you got to understand, you love the people to understand it's the devil that is shaping the way they think and they feel that's causing the problem in your life. Don't fight them. Back up off of them. Go into your place of authoritative prayer over the devil that's trying to stop you from having what Jesus died to provide. See, you're going to lose the battle fighting people. So fed up with people always talking about people this and people that. People holding back my ministry. Shut up, you ignorant person. It's Jesus' ministry. If they don't receive it, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. That's what the Bible says. I didn't say it. Jesus himself said it. Oh, but you're so smart and intellectually always venting about people. People can't stop you, baby, unless you let them. Unless you mull over that crap. That's the word I use, crap. Love them in the spirit. Pray for them. He that is ignorant, let them stay ignorant. Well, you pray and say, Lord, I ask that you give them the eyes of the understanding, what they might, that their eyes might be enlightened, that they might know the hope of their calling. But you stand your ground on your truth, and you just walk away from them. You understand? Don't stand in the path of the sinner, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Don't scorn them. Go pray for them and leave them alone. Let them be mad at you. You got to learn how to let people be mad at you and you not get mad back. Am I teaching right? There's a lot of people that don't like me and I don't agree what you're doing. Well, I'm walking on the rhema word that Jesus told me to preach, teach, and live by. Most importantly, live by. So if you don't like it, that's not my problem. I love you. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the rulers. Look what it says here. Against the powers, against the world forces of this present darkness. You trying to fix it in your own intellectual knowledge, and it ain't going to work. You got spirits out there that got people that got reprobate minds, and you trying to do it through. Oh, man, go on somewhere with that mess. But against the rulers, against powers, against world forces of this present darkness, against spiritual forces. Look what he says. Spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. These are supernatural places. This is the scriptures, man. Continuing on. Verse 13. Therefore, put on the complete. Oh, well, I'm going to stop right there. We've had enough for the day. Thank you, Holy Ghost. we had enough for the day. That was 45 minutes. No more. No more. No more. And I didn't know. I just looked, and he stopped me. 45 minutes. We stopped at 45 minutes. All right. Remember, I got these teaching books up there. This we have this wonderful seed book up there. We call them the Mustard Seed Collection. This is downloadable. Just hit it, download it. It's about faith and spiritual warfare, too. I got some couple more that will be up there this week, too, and be ready for next week. All righty. We're going to continue this on to next week. I love you, and hopefully you were blessed, even though we was deceived. Not deceived. We was delayed for a bit. We still got it going. Amen. Was it worth it?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God.